your King James Bible to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in God's Word in verse number 6. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read beginning in verse number 6, and we'll read through verse 13. Great passage of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, trust it'll be a blessing from the Lord to hear what it says today. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6. God's Word says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is a witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Alrighty. Our text is verse number 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is a witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. And specifically, we want to talk about this statement. The witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. Trust this will be helpful. Alrighty. The Bible makes a statement, if we receive the witness of men. And the fact of the matter is, you know, it's amazing how quickly and easily we receive the witness of men. If somebody tells us something, we are very prone to believe whatever they say, whether there's any evidence for it, whether it makes any sense, whether we understand it. If some guy says it, well, somebody told me, you know, and we'll just bank on them, you know. For example, there are men who tell us that the world is billions and billions and billions of years old, and they use big words to say it. So, oh, okay, yeah, the world is billions of years old. The witness of God is greater. All right, if we receive the witness of men, we have been told so many things from men, and we'll take whatever men say. They'll tell us all kinds of things about stars. They'll tell us things about invisible things you can't even see. you need a microscope, and there's some things you can't even see with a microscope, and they just explain with their imagination. But, well, they'll tell us this is the way it is, and, yeah, we'll just bank on that. We'll just buy into that, whatever it is. We receive the witness of men. We really do. The witness of men is all over the Internet now. You can hear about anything you want to hear, good or bad, about any issue. And we are quick to receive it. But as quick as we are to receive the witness of men, the Bible says there's a witness that is greater than the witness of men. And of course, that's the witness of God. And the witness of God is greater, and the idea is that it's greater than the witness of men. You know, when it comes to the matter of our spiritual life, we are, again, the same way with the witness of men. I say we, I mean people in general. I don't necessarily mean every individual in this church. But, you know, people in general, you know, this world in general is prone to believe whatever somebody says. And usually what colors their willingness to receive the witness of men is how close it is to what they already think, to how close it is or how well it confirms their own opinions already. Especially is that true in religion and in spiritual matters in the matters of the Lord and our relationship with him. If somebody doesn't pay much attention to God, doesn't care much at all about what the Bible says, they just think that you know, when they die, they're going to go to heaven because everybody goes to heaven and God is so wonderful. God is too kind to send anybody to hell. If there even is such a place as hell, which there probably isn't even such a place because God wouldn't send anybody to hell. So why bother making a place called hell? And that's pretty much what people think. And so, you know, you be a decent person and do your best and be sincere and you'll go to heaven. And then they hear somebody come along, some minister somewhere or some religious person somewhere, and they come along and say that same thing and say, yep, see, that's what somebody said. That's what so-and-so said, you know. And that's what I think too, you know. And we are indeed quick to receive the witness of men. We need to receive the witness of God. The witness of God is greater than the witness of men. You know, sometimes when it comes to our own salvation, I've noticed several people over the years who really, I'm almost convinced, would prefer the witness of men when it comes to their salvation. It seems like they would much rather have some man or some human being, that could include a female, obviously, but they would rather have some human being tell them, yes, you are saved. Absolutely, positively, you are saved. Now quit worrying about it. You're saved. I have met folks, I'm convinced, that's what they wanted. You could show them the witness of God about their salvation and as a basis for their assurance of their salvation and knowing that they have eternal life. But they have a hard time embracing that. They have a hard time believing that and just resting on that and having a real calm, settled assurance, yes, I am saved. But on the other hand, if you could just tell them yourself, now listen, you're saved. Now quit worrying about it. Don't make a big deal about it. Just forget it. You're saved. Then for some reason they take comfort in that. And that's kind of silly, isn't it? It's not only silly, it's dangerous. The witness of God is available, and the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. I know a lady that for years as a child, she had a question about her salvation. But every time she would ask her parents about salvation, they would say, oh, you were saved when you were a little kid. Don't worry about it. You were saved when you were, I don't know, 4 or 5 or whatever. You were saved. And this lady, she didn't have any recollection of nothing. She didn't remember getting saved. She didn't remember doing nothing. She didn't remember praying. She didn't remember nothing. But her parents kept telling her, well, you know, that would be okay for a little bit. But then after a while, you know, the questions start coming back, you know, and the doubts and the wonders and the fears start coming back. And so she'd bring it up again, and they would say the same thing. And that lady was in her 20s before she finally got it settled. And basically what happened is she realized she'd never been saved at all, and she got saved, and she's known it ever since. But she got her assurance from the witness of God, not the witness of men. I know as parents, one thing that we want, maybe more than we want anything else, is we want for ourselves to know that our children are saved. And so many times I think sometimes parents are a little overzealous in convincing their children that they're saved, not for their sake, but for our sake, because we want to believe that they're saved. Now listen, parents, don't do that. Please don't do that. You cannot convince your child, and you should not convince your child that he is saved. The Spirit of God must do that. The witness of God has to take care of that. All righty? Now, let me say this. The witness of God will do that. But let me say this also, the witness of God will do it for your child and will give your child assurance that your child is saved, assuming that your child is saved. The Spirit of God will do that. The Spirit of God does not bear witness with your spirit about somebody else's salvation. Righty? The Spirit of God will let you know that you are saved, but you are the only one that he's going to let know is saved. Now, obviously, we've got pretty good reason to think that a lot of other folks are saved too. But as far as a witness from God that a person is saved, that's going to be between God and that person. So let me give you some things this morning out of this passage of Scripture about the greater witness of God to our heart. Number one, I want you to notice that the witness of God is greater because of who the witness is, of who the person is. Verse number six says, in the latter part of verse number six, it is the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, that beareth witness because the Spirit is truth. All righty? It is the Spirit that beareth witness. It is the Holy Spirit of God that is the witness of God. And the reason that the Spirit of God is the witness, and the reason that the Spirit of God is a greater witness than any man and than all man, is because the Spirit is truth. All righty? The Holy Spirit is truth. Now, man can tell the truth about some things, but man can also tell things that's not true. Man can tell the truth about things that he knows, but he cannot tell the truth about things that he does not know. The Spirit of God doesn't simply tell the truth. The Spirit of God is truth. He's called several times in the Gospel of John the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of God cannot be mistaken. The Spirit of God cannot be uninformed. There is absolutely nothing about your life or nothing about God, either one of you, that the Spirit of God does not know. Absolutely nothing that he does not know. And what he knows for truth. He's not misled or misinformed. He does not misunderstand, nor is he deceived or misled about anything. Whatever he knows it as truth for truth, and he knows it exactly. The Spirit of God is the witness, the Bible says, and the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. And for that reason, that's why we ought not only prefer, but we ought receive the witness of God, because it is the truth. If the Spirit of God tells us that we are saved, we're saved. If the Spirit of God tells us that we are lost, we're lost. And that's it. If the Spirit of God tells us we are saved, boy, are we out of fellowship with God, then that's the truth. We may be saved, we may be out of fellowship with God. But the point is, whatever the Spirit of God says is truth. And that's the reason that the Spirit beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. He's not going to get it wrong. He never has got it wrong. He hasn't got it wrong with anybody. He hasn't got it wrong with you, and he's not going to. Our point is, the Spirit of God is the greater witness because of that person of the Spirit of God. He's truth. He is truth. I want you to notice the second thing. The Spirit of God is a greater witness than the Spirit of than man, because not only is he a person of truth, but he is present. Notice verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God, notice this statement, hath the witness in himself. hath the witness in himself. So I want you to notice two things about the presence of this witness, the presence of the Spirit of God. Number one, I want you to notice that he is present in the believer. He is present in you. If you are a believer on Christ as your personal Savior, then he is in you. The Bible says you have the witness. That's a wonderful statement in itself. Simply the fact that you have him. If you had him in your closet, that would be wonderful. If you had him on your bookshelf, that would be wonderful. If you had him in your shirt pocket, that would be wonderful. But there's something more wonderful than having him on your closet or in your shelf or in your shirt pocket. You have him in yourself, the Bible says. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. We're talking about the fact that he is a greater witness than man because he is present in you. In you. And this witnessing of the Holy Spirit to you takes place in you. It doesn't come from outside of you. It comes from inside of you. The Bible tells you in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We are the sons of God. He bears witness with our spirit. He does that on the inside of us because that's where the Spirit of God is in he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But notice this also about the presence of this witness. Not only is he present in you, but notice verse number 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit also. And these three are one. Of course, we call that the Trinity. The Bible word is Godhead. But these three, Father, Son, and that's who the Word is, capital W, you know that from John chapter 1, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. All right, that's the whole Godhead. But I want you to notice this particular point, he bears record in heaven. He is in you, and he not only bears witness in you, but he also bears record in heaven. Isn't that good? The one that he tells for sure, the truth too, about specifically right now we consider our salvation. He tells the truth to you, and he tells the truth in heaven. It's good to know that heaven knows I'm saved. I have honestly heard people say, and I wonder if this little fear might be a little more widespread than I think. I know I'm saved. But I have this fear that when the rapture takes place, God's going to forget me. You ever have that thought? What if he forgets me? What if he forgets that I'm saved? It won't happen. In first place, your name's written down as a believer in the Lamb's Book of Life. In second place, your witness is in heaven bearing record. He bears record in heaven, the Bible says, and he does so in yourself, the Bible says, and so you're covered on both ends. You're covered on earth, you're covered in heaven. You have the witness in the right place, the witness that is greater than all and any witness of man, the witness of God, the person of the Spirit of truth, and present in you and in heaven. That's pretty sure. That is a great witness. I want you to notice, number three, that this witness of God is greater because his witness is permanent. His witness is permanent. You notice the reference to the record. The record. The Bible says there are three that bear record in heaven, verse number 7. The Bible says in verse number 10, at the end, the last statement of verse number 10, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record. It is a matter of record. It is a matter of public record. It is a matter of private record. It is a matter of permanent record. It is recorded. You know, it's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And Jesus told us in Luke chapter 10 that we need to rejoice because of that. And also, Revelation chapter 20 tells us that whosoever is not found in that book is cast bodily into a lake of fire. But this record not only is recorded in a book in heaven, but you have this matter of our life, of our salvation and our eternal life recorded in the Bible. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you. This is a matter of permanent record. I got saved in 1959. I was a whopping 6 years old. I am now 61 years old. And that means for somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 years that I have been saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The record that was showed to me in 1959 is still in print, and it still says the same. It's absolutely permanent. It hadn't changed, and it hadn't gone away. It is still there. The record of the witness of God is greater because it's permanent. I like it when the Spirit of God speaks to my heart. I like it when He assures me of things. And frankly, I like it when He convicts me of things, because I really do want to be in fellowship with Him. But I like it also that it's written down. And frankly, that's where He speaks to me the most and the clearest from what is written down. This Bible here is God's Word. That's how God speaks to us. Alrighty? But our point is, the Spirit of God is a greater witness because He's a person of truth, because of His presence both in heaven and in the believer, and because His witness is permanent. You can constantly at any time go back to the witness of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the record. Here is the record. You remember the story of in Ezra's day when they were told by Cyrus, anybody wants to, or Cyrus had issued a decree that anybody wanted to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and everything else like that. So they did eventually. And then some other king came along and said, hey, you guys got to stop. You're going to cost us money. And Zerubbabel and those guys leading the construction project said, hey, you guys need to go search the records. And in Ezra chapter 4 and 5, that's exactly what the Persians did. They went and looked in the record. And sure enough, their own king had said, go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the house for your God. That's what it said. It was a matter of record. And years later, they went and checked it out. And sure enough. And so they backed off and said, go ahead and build your house, because that's what the king said. Listen, records are great. We got to have records. We want records of everything. We got birth records and marriage records and death records and records to your car and the records to your house and all that kind of stuff. You need a record for your spiritual life as well, and you have it. It's permanent. It's a witness of the Holy Spirit of God. It's a permanent witness of the Holy Spirit of God. So we're saying that the Spirit of God is a greater witness. The witness of God is greater than the witness of man, because He's a person of truth. He is present in heaven and in you. He is permanent. And number four, I like this one. He is a greater witness than man because He is plain. He is plain. Verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That is so plain. This is the record. This is what the Spirit of God bears witness to. Eternal life is something that God gives. God gives to us eternal life. It is not something that is earned. It is not something that is worked for. It is not something that is rewarded to us or awarded to us. It is not a prize. It is given to us. It's called in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives to us eternal life. We're talking about the plainness of the Holy Spirit's witness. He gives to us eternal life. It's plain that God gives it to us. It's plain what it is that He gives. And pet peeve, this might be pet peeve number one on my list. This really, really irks me. I guess it irks me that people can't read plain English. God gives to us eternal life. That's what it says. And that's what it means. Our point is the witness of God is so great because it's plain. God gives to us life. Another piece of advice to parents, coming from the teacher side of me. Do not be one of these silly people who tell your children, you'll never use grammar in your life. You don't need to do that. That's silly. That's stupid. You don't need to know nothing about grammar. Yeah, you do. You don't need to know anything about vocabulary and reading and stuff. Yeah, you do. Because if you don't, then you read things like this, and you receive the witness of men instead of the witness of God. God has given to us eternal life. That's what it says. He gives to us life. That's what He gives us. The life is described by a part of speech called an adjective, which describes a noun. You know what a noun is? A person, place, or thing. The thing is life. And the description of the life is eternal. Now listen carefully. That's just simple second grade grammar. It's very basic, but it's very important. This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, is what it says. God gives to us life. Life. That's important. God gives us life. I don't know how many people think that eternal life is red heaven. Now, if you're going to live forever, obviously you're going to live in heaven eventually. But eternal life is not a synonym for heaven. There's synonyms for heaven: the holy city, the New Jerusalem, my Father's house, Jesus called it. There's lots of things in the Bible that heaven is referred to. Eternal life is not one of them. Eternal life is life that is eternal. And the point is, God gives it to you. And the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. He has it right now. In my case, I've had it since 1959. I have never yet been to heaven. And in the thinking and theology of some folks, I'm not saved until I get there. I got news for you. I've had it since I was 6 years old. Eternal life. I've had life. That's the point. I've had life. That's the gift. And that's what the Spirit of God bears witness to, that I have life, that I am spiritually alive. Something in me that knows God and relates to God and understands God. Eternal life is not a synonym for heaven. I've had some wonderful experiences in my 55 years as a Christian. I've had some great times, some wonderful experiences, and I've been to some great, impressive places. I've never been to heaven. I never experienced anything like heaven. But I have had quite a life. I've had quite a life. It's been a life with God. It's been a life directed by God, taught by God. Because that's what God gave me when I got, and that's what God gives every believer when they get saved. He gives them eternal life. That's why I like the witness of the Spirit, because it's plain. This is not some hidden theology, some obscure passages that you dig out of some unheard of book. This is not something you got to delve into the Greek and the Hebrew. Look at all these one syllable words. He that hath the Son hath life. That's what you have. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 19 one-syllable words. It's plain. How can you miss it? God gives life, spiritual life. This life is forever. That's a wonderful thing. It's eternal. Someday I'm going to have to quit living in this fat body. It's not going to take it much longer. I'm going to have to live somewhere else. And when it happens, I'll live in heaven. But in the meantime, my life is eternal. So I don't have to be afraid of dying. I don't have to be afraid of where I'm going. I don't have to be afraid of what it'll be like. Whatever it's going to be like, it's going to be better than this one. But the fact of the matter is, the point is, it's eternal. Now, certainly, we need to know for sure that we're going to heaven. And certainly, a saved person is going to heaven. We're not saying that you're not going to heaven and that he doesn't take you to heaven when you die. We're not saying none of that. We're saying what he gives you is eternal life. That's what he gives you. And that's what the Christian life is. We're talking about the fact the witness of the Spirit of God is plain. It's plain that he gives it to us, and it's plain what it is that he gives it to us, and it's plain where it is. This life is in his Son, the Bible says. This life is in his Son. And see, again, as the Spirit is truth, the Son is life. You know the verse, I am the way, Jesus said. I am the truth, Jesus said. I am the life, Jesus said. He is the life. He really is. He is the life. He told Mary and Martha there in Bethany concerning Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what I am. In him was life, the Bible says in John chapter 1. That's him. He's the life. Because he that hath the Son hath life. Because the Son is life. And not only is the Son life, turn back to chapter 1 of this book. Verse number 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. This is chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This is the apostle talking, John. We have looked upon and our hands have handled of the capital W word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. Talking about Jesus. We've seen it. Now we're bearing witness. And we're showing to you that life that is eternal. That eternal life. That's Jesus. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Our point is, the witness of the Spirit of God is greater because it's plain that this life is given to us. And what is given to us is life. And this life is in his Son. And you have to have the Son to have the life. And if you have the Son, you have the life. And you have the Son by believing on the name of the Son of God. That's the record, the permanent record from the very present witness in yourself and in heaven. That is the person of truth, that God gives to us life, spiritual life. And do not confuse people and do not mislead people. We said this last week. And probably more likely the week before, and probably somewhere along the line, we probably said it the week before, we probably said it more times more services than we don't say it. God gives life, and there's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. That is the only place. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation is when the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the person that has received him. There's no such thing as salvation apart from Christ. Salvation, and don't misunderstand this, and don't get confused about this. Salvation is not in prayer. It's not in Bible reading. It's not in church attendance. It's not in baptism. It's not in anything else either. It's in receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, by believing on him. A person cannot be saved and is not saved without the Son of God. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Can it be any more plain? And the answer is no, it can't be any more plain than that. And he that hath the Son doesn't just have heaven someday in the sweet by and by. He has life, and he has it now. Now, he doesn't have perfect life because he's still flesh. We talked about that last week. Well, I say he doesn't have, he does have perfect life because he has Jesus. But he's not a sinless, Jesus is a sinless person, but the person that has Jesus is not necessarily a sinless person themselves. But the fact of the matter is, you have the very life of him. His life is your life. And you have a living person living inside of you in addition to yourself. That person is Jesus, the Son of God. The witness of God is greater because it's very plain. You need the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a way of his Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ, living in you. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Because the witness is the Spirit of God, and the Father, and the capital W word, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost are one. So you have the Holy Ghost in you, which you do if you're a believer. Then you have the Son of God in you, because they're the same. You also have the Father in you, because they're the same. They are one, the Bible says. And you have in you life, life, life. Now, I want you to notice one more thing. The Spirit of God is a greater witness, not only because he's a person of truth, he's present in heaven and in you. He is permanent in his witness. He's plain in his witness. He is purposed in his witness. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that two things, two purposes, for this witness in the record from the Spirit of God. Two things. Number one, that you may know that you have eternal life. Knowing that you have eternal life is also how you know you're going to heaven. It's also how you know you're going to heaven. But the first thing you have, and the reason you're going to heaven, is because you have eternal life. And he wants you to know that you have life that is not going away. You have life that is not going to fizzle out. You have life that lasts forever. Spiritual life with God and in Christ. You have it. You have it forever. It's real. It's yours. It's permanent, and it's not going away. You have it. You have it. You have it. You may know that. You may know that. You may know that. And the Bible says, secondly, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he's got two purposes here for bearing witness in this passage of Scripture and putting this in the record. You may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the second reason. Now, wait a minute. This is written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. It looks like they've already believed on the name of the Son of God. So why does he write this? So you can believe on the name of the Son of God. And that's a good question. Let me give you a good answer. or try to. Number one, as the Spirit of God bears witness, if the witness says, hey, you're not saved, then you can believe on the name of the Son of God. But the second thought, if you have believed on the name of the Son of God and received God's gift of eternal life, there's some other things that you can trust Him for as well. There are some other things, in addition simply to having eternal life and knowing for sure you're going to heaven, there's some other things that you can believe on Him for as well, and some other things that you can trust Him for specifically. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's how you get born again, by believing on the name of the Son of God. That's how you get born of God. And then, secondly, verse number 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? All righty. And so you need to believe on the name of the Son of God that you may overcome the world. The fact of the matter is, by believing on the name of the Son of God, you're born of God. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. You have life in you. And that life and that faith in Christ to be your Savior is the same faith that will enable you to overcome the world. You don't have to be defeated by this world. You don't have to fall in line with it and bow and kiss the feet of this world and do everything it says, be just like it says to be. You don't have to do that. You don't have to receive the witness of this world. You can receive the witness of God, and you can overcome the world, and you can have that victory that overcomes the world. It comes from your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from your trust and your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trusted Him. He has done exactly what He promised to do. He has given you life. He's come to live inside of you, and He bears witness on the inside of you that you are His and you belong to God. And that same God that has done all that, you can trust to overcome the world and to see you're not part of it. You don't fit in with it. Don't try to match up with it. Don't try to fit into it. You're not part of it. You can overcome the world. And then thirdly, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Not only is that how you get born again, not only is that how you overcome the world, that's how you get your prayers answered. Notice verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How do we know that He heareth? Because we have the witness in ourselves. We have the witness in ourselves, the Spirit of God in us. Spiritual life, this matter of prayer, talking to God, trusting Him, asking anything according to His will, that comes out of a spiritual life. It's hard to do that when you're spiritually dead and your prayer life is just a bunch of memorized stuff that you just go through as a routine. But actually talking to God, asking Him to do what He pleases and asking Him to help however He wants to and do whatever He wants. And you pray about this matter and you pray about that matter and you ask for help with this and you ask for help with that and you ask Him to work out this situation and to solve this problem and to meet this need and to answer this question and to give the wisdom that you need and to give the strength and the comfort and the help and the hope that you need in whatever situation you find yourself in. You can do that because you've got a life with God. And you have confidence in Him because you believe on His name. It's not just a case, dear God, you can keep my wicked soul out of hell and you can take me to heaven someday. But boy, you cannot solve my problems. That's a dumb way to think, isn't it? Dear Lord, you can give your only begotten Son, but you can't give me any money. Dear God, you can forgive my sin and change my life completely from the inside out, but you can't help me physically. Isn't that a stupid way to think? We believe on the name of the Son of God because we know who He is. We know what He can do. We know what He has done, and we have the witness from Him inside of us, and that witness is greater than man, and we have this confidence. deliverance from our faith, from just believing in the name of the Son of God, that we can ask anything according to his will, and he'll listen to us. And if we know that he's hearing us, then we know that he's going to answer. We have the petitions that we desired of him. We know that. See, our Christian life is just a matter of this life. We live it because we have it. Isn't that rocket science? That's not real deep theology, is it? I feed this belly because I have a belly and it's got to be fed. I get up and I work and I do things and I go here and I go there and I do it in this body because I have life in this body. This body is alive. It's not meant to stay in bed all the time. It doesn't want to stay in bed. It wants to do something, and it really doesn't like it when it can't move and when it doesn't want to move. Because the fact of the matter is, as old as it is and as unhealthy as it is and as out of shape as it is, this body's still alive, and it's got to live. I've told my wife a number of times, I'm going to live till I die. Think on that. Figure that out. What does that mean? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I want to live till I don't live anymore. And when it comes to our spiritual life, we got to live it because we have it. We are spiritually alive. Got to read the Bible. Got to pray. I got to overcome the world. I got to honor the Lord. I got to walk with God because that's my life. That's my life. I want to. You notice on down here, we know, verse 18 says, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Well, I don't want the devil messing with me. I don't want the devil messing with my life. I don't want the devil messing with my family. And he doesn't have to have the victory in my life. Because I've got life. I've got spiritual life. It's eternal. And it comes from the Son of God. And I believe in him. I've got confidence in him. We know, verse 19 says, we're of God. We know that the whole world lieth in wickedness. So I can have victory over that. I don't need to be part of and fit in with a world of wickedness. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. We may know him that is true. We talked about that last week, knowing him and him crucified. And the Bible says we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And knowing all this and believing on the name of the Son of God as the Spirit of God bears witness to us is how verse 21 says, you keep yourselves from idols. Don't let everything else take priority over God. Don't let anything come between you and him. Not anything. Not anything. Not anything. Not anyone. Keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Because we know God. We know the Son of God. We know the Spirit of God. These three are one, and they're in us. And that's our life. It's been given to us by simple faith in Christ as our personal Savior. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And it really is. This witness of God is what he has testified of his Son. The Holy Spirit of God is going to witness to us about everything. Overcoming the world, answering our prayer, staying away from idols, knowing for sure that we're saved, knowing for sure we have eternal life, all of that kind of stuff. Trusting God for everything. He's going to do all of that through and by and for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the witness which he hath testified of his Son. See, this is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Do you know him as your personal Savior? For sure. Is he in your heart by faith, because he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day, and he will come into your heart immediately when you will receive him. So many people, they want to go to heaven when they die, but I don't know why. Because they don't want the Son of God. I got news for you. When you get to heaven, the Son of God is what heaven is all about. It's not about the glorified bodies. It's not about the reunions with loved ones. Although all of that is true and all of that is great, and we're even to comfort ourselves with all that stuff the Bible says. But when you see the scene in heaven, it all is centered around the throne and the one on the throne. And that's not you. And that's not me. That is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. So I wonder why some folks even want to go to heaven. They don't want him now. And the fact of the matter is, without him now, you don't need to worry about it, because you're not going to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son of God as your own personal Savior? If you trusted him with your soul salvation, the forgiveness of your sin, and for eternal life, don't you think you can trust him to overcome the world and to answer your prayers and to meet your needs and to solve your problems and to give you what you need, not just financially, but physically, emotionally, and every other way? Don't you think you can trust him to help you to keep the way clear between you and him? So nothing comes between you and him. Don't you think you can trust him for absolutely everything? Don't you trust him? Don't you think you can trust him even for the future and the things that you don't know? I believe you can. I believe you can. And the Spirit of God will bear witness to that. All righty. Let us bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I trust the Spirit of God will help this to make some sense to you. Sometimes things that make sense to me, I have a hard time getting across to others. I trust the Spirit of God to help us to see it. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Then the ladies are going to play an invitation song.